Conan.
What it do? Boom.
Have you been looking for a new addition to your fitness routine lately?
Yes, and I have found one.
Really? Did you know that at-home boxing is one of the safest and most effective forms of exercise?
Allow
me to introduce you to Fight Camp. It's an interactive at-home boxing. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers with decades of experience teach you proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp also has live punch counting stats that motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knockout achievements or go head-to-head against other members from across the country across the living room. Joe, have you done this product before?
Yeah, I actually started it last week, man.
Bro, what's it like?
It's really, you know, you don't have to leave the house or go to the gym, so there's no excuse not to exercise. It's right in front of you. The lessons are extensive. They're detailed, and that's good if you don't have any boxing training at all, which I don't. And the bag, it's not that cumbersome. You can stand it up wherever you want. You can put it to the side when you're not using it. And, I mean, between that, using the lessons and competing against whoever you want, friends, family, or just strangers around the world, it gives it an interactive part to it. It makes it a lot of fun, man. But I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, one of the best things about Fight Camp is it makes boxing accessible to everyone. No matter what fitness level you're at, what your age is, what your experience with boxing is, you can do it. I know a lot of people out there, you know, probably haven't been to fight in their life, and Fight Camp can teach you, like, if you get bullied or get picked on, you know, you know at least you know how to punch somebody in the face, and you're going to have a great time. So how do you think you would rank on the Fight Camp leaderboard, Joe? Would you be in first place, you think?
Oh, I'm working my way up to the top 10 worldwide. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, good grief. So join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home. Fight Camp packages start just $99. Even off some great financing options, you can start as low as $9 a month. It's so cheap. To get everything you need, go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN.
I've been in really bad condition because I haven't been training. And I've been training since I was a little kid. And everything that we sell on this show, we use ourselves. And the Fight Camp has been incredible because, as Joe mentioned, because Joe's the one that told me about it, as Joe mentioned, you know, you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to change. You don't have to park anywhere. You don't have to pay gym memberships. And plus, like, I used to box in the service. And so I have a punching bag in my garage. And when you hit it, it swings back and forth. And, you know, somebody's got to hold it for you to really, you know, punch it. And this, nobody has to hold it. It doesn't swing back and forth. You don't got to hook it from the top of the roof. It just stands on the floor. And you can go out there and they have little video sessions. So if you only got 15 minutes, you can do a 15-minute workout. And it works every single, you know, muscle in your body. I highly recommend it.
Go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN. Next is from White Outside Pony Ellie Goulding. The subject is Sting. Yo, Disco, care to confirm that you have to block Mandy Rose on Twitter because she kept begging to film some content with her? Admit it. All right, you're gonna get a week suspension for that.
Ellie.
Information, yeah. This past weekend, word leaked that Sting's contract with AEW runs out soon, and my question is, with all due respect to a genuine legend, why the F would Tony waste the time trying to re-sign Sting to a deal? Sting is one of the GOATs, but in AEW, Tony Khan's done nothing with him. We've not gotten explanations why Sting and Darby are linked together. Sting is getting a huge annual salary. I don't see many ratings or ticket sales to warrant that kind of spending. My question may seem a little harsh, but do you think this is the perfect time for Tony Khan to cut some of the dead weight from the company? He puts Billy sucks at the end. is it time to cut some of the – I mean, we've talked about it. Bro, you got a lot of guys on there, and the only time they'll be on TV is like a random match every like 6 weeks to do a job to somebody. And it's like you don't really need those guys. Sting is a guy that you've kind of been used regularly, but like they don't do a lot of angles and storytelling that lasts like more than 1 or 2 weeks. They just come on and cut promos. They'll see you on Rampage and that's it.
Right. It's like, let me tell you how I see Tony stockpiling talent. You know, when you see the, like the old school MTV Cribs, remember that show?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then it's the guy who lives in a mansion with 15 rooms, but only 4 people live there, or the guy, and you see this a lot, who has 15 cars, like, mm-hmm. What are you going to drive a different one every day? It's almost like if you got money, you can splurge, and Tony has money. That's the only thing I can equate it to, you know? And let me go back to something that I forgot because I was in Iran, and I'm still in Iran, but not as heavy. Did Chad say something at the end of his thing that because I'm reading right now his email, because I wanted to read the tweet between Alba and Glenn. Did you read the last thing that he said, Glenn?
Who?
The Chadster.
The first letter.
What did he say? What's the last thing he said?
He want me to read it?
Yeah.
He goes, even though I get ripped for the Chadster name given to me by Shane Douglas, I consider a badge of honor. I just read this right now, by the way, because I was looking at your shit with Alba. He goes, I consider it a badge of honor after the humiliation Alba suffered publicly by the superior one. I want to answer this. Okay. The reason you get heat for the Chadster nickname is because you continue to inspire its lameness. And even though Shane Douglas bestowed it upon you, he must have been pilled up, drunk, a rib, or all three. Plus, Chadster sounds a lot like hamster. Okay. And this is right up there with whoever came up for Mr. JL for Jerry Lynn and WCW or
Terry
whoever,
Taylor.
Or whoever Terry the Stooge Taylor.
Any lame WCW name was Terry right. Taylor.
And whoever in WWE came up with the name Brawling Brutes or Banger Brothers.
Right.
Wasn't there a porno company called Bang Bros?
Yes. Bang Bros, yeah.
Yeah.
Next is from Fall Vampire, and the subject is Nice Shot. Can you guys please, please, please tell Billy that both Sean Rochef and Rod Jerry have both been invited guests on the Eric Bischoff podcast? I would love to hear his fragile ego break at that news. Billy sucks. Fall Vampire, Eric has been on Billy's show, too. I got to ask you guys about this. Recent Twitter social media, CM Punk took a shot at MJF and the TV ratings that he is, or should we say, isn't drawing for AEW. Could this be a work to lead into a storyline with CM Punk return to AEW? Or is most seem to think is he just pointing out that MJF has done nothing at all to help AEW? If it is a work, I think it's kind of a strange move for Punk to point something like that out. I guess CM Punk fires shot at AEW ratings after MJF alters award for best feud. AEW had their
award. What it was. Yeah. I'll explain this real quick. PWI awards. Okay. MJF right. won the most hated wrestler award and feud of the year against CM Punk. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the picture of MJF holding up the plaques for feud of the year, he put a piece of tape over Punk's name. Okay. And so
Punk, that's funny.
Punk responded, maybe put some or find some tape for the ratings so nobody sees those either. So that was his shot back at MJF and AEW.
Well, that's the first, isn't that the first time Punk's interacted with an AEW talent since he's been fired?
Yes. I think he interacted with Dax a little bit, but
could be coming back. Could be coming back because Tony sees that they were over a million. Like more often when Punk was on than not, would we agree with that?
And maybe they're trying to gauge by him throwing that out there what the views and stuff like that is between just them two, you know.
Well, he brought three of the guys back from the situation. He brought the Elite and Kenny.
Right.
And the numbers for the show haven't really been overwhelming since they've been back.
No.
So maybe Tony's looking, it's like, okay, if I want numbers, I got a guy sitting at home right now because he got in a fight with the guys I've brought back already. Like, why can't I bring this guy back? I mean, he's got to be thinking that and trying to make it work. You know,
viable scenario that you just threw out there.
Well, consider this too, because I don't know if we discussed it or you guys mentioned it, but there's been reports through the Wrestling Observer that Chris Jericho and other top talents told the AEW locker room they will make sure Punk is not brought back to the promotion. Jericho reportedly called Punk a cancer to the locker room and a detriment to AEW.
Here's the thing with that thing. Jericho wields a lot of power in that locker room, but at the end of the day, Tony makes the final call.
Of course he does. Yeah, it's his money.
Right.
That's where it ends, you know? Next is from Gary Hans, and the subject is okay, and Disco, I have to give you a little criticism for the Dominic Mysterio interview. Conan would ask a question, you would cut Dom's answer off and then never get back to the topic. I think that made it good because the topics you probably want to discuss for notes. Billy Body is still the worst part of the show, though. I don't care about his betting picks either. Why would I? All right, if you don't like sports.
Save all these Billy Body letters for him, Joe, so he can read them.
Right. Okay. Anyway, Adam Cole is back, and who gives a shit? His return was booked like it was some type of huge deal, but how can it be a huge deal if he was booked like shit for his entire first 1 or 2 years in the company? Also, what does this mean? MJF versus Adam Cole is a follow-up feud to MJF versus Danielson? Basically, guys, what do you predict that will happen with Adam Cole's return to AEW? I don't know.
Sounds about right. The next challenge for MJF would make sense, especially since his promo was kind of a babyface promo, right? His return promo.
All right. So this is a wrestling god, but wrestling is spelled WRESLING. There's no T, right?
Yeah, boy.
There's no subject, and I'm going to give a two-word answer to this question. What advice can you give a person who wants to have a career in the wrestling industry? Tony, you give your answer first, because my answer is two words.
In the wrestling industry?
Yeah, what advice can you give a person who wants to have a career in the wrestling industry?
Bro, just make sure that somebody that knows what they're doing, not just some Johnny-come-lately you've never heard of, trains you, you know? And that's basically about it. That's my starters. I could tell you a whole bunch of shit.
I'm not going to be as nice. My answer is don't bother. The next one's
Giant Farouk.
Giant Farouk. The subject is decline. First time I've ever mailed a podcast in my life, so I hope to make it to the YouTube channel. That's a good aspiration, by the way. The question I would love to have answered for you guys is about Chris Benoit. One of the things we often hear about people who snap is that they would gradually have a mental health decline over a period of years before the worst possible thing can happen. I've heard JTG from Crime Time say that Benoit would walk around in his ring gear before and after shows and would talk to guys like he was kayfabing, but not in a joking way. Chris always did that, though.
Right.
I've also heard Chris Jericho himself say that sometimes Benoit would literally starve himself for a few days if he screwed up during a match. So Conan and Disco, did you, either of you guys ever notice anything within your time spent with Benoit that was a little unusual? Oh, yeah. P.S. guys, I'm not a Billy hater, but he claimed last week that Sasha hasn't sold out the NGP show that she's wrestling on.
That's
completely false. She sold that show out within less than 24 hours of tickets going on sale. I don't know why Billy lied.
Second report.
Right, we'll ask him about that. His claim.
Yeah, send that. Save that for him too, Joe.
Save that claim. Well, because we like Billy the sports guy, but Billy as the dirt sheet guy will definitely be brought to account. Right.
Right.
But bro, Chris would. This was hysterical. The Madden tells the story. He told the story in the show. It's like if you were looking for Benoit, he would and like Madden would say, "Where's Benoit?" He goes, "I don't know. I think he's walking around the building." Go, well, where is he? Say, "Well, just go stand over there because he's literally doing laps around the inner part of the building." Like he would go in and he would stop at he said go to the coffee machine, because he would stop, get a cup of coffee, walk all around the arena, drink the coffee, stop at the coffee thing again, get another cup of coffee, walk. Bro, the guy would drink like 10 cups of coffee a day,
and he would get one of those coffee straws and have it in his mouth the whole day.
Right.
Yeah, but I never saw his mentally decline. I mean, JTG worked in WWE with him after we did, but I never saw any mental decline in him.
Yeah. Next is from Kenneth F. McAllister, and the subject is because he was always quiet.
Yeah,
His demeanor was very professional and quiet. And sometimes he would bellow, laugh out loud out of the blue, and it'd be hysterical. Because
guy,
it's a shame what happened to him. Next is from Kenneth McAllister, and the subject is a question for Conan. What's up, K Dog, Disco, and Joe? Quick question for Conan: was there any heat in WCW between the Luchadors, Raven, and Canyon over the botched powerbomb neckbreaker where they dropped Velado 5 on his neck live on Nitro? Thanks, guys. Yeah, that was a botch. I think Raven screwed that. What was the heat? Was there any heat, Conan? Because you could probably know that.
No, I think them being sons of wrestlers, and they knew that Raven wouldn't do that on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he didn't have a history of fucking shit up. So
right. And Raven didn't have a history of doing things to hurt people.
Right. Yeah. So that's part of the game, you know, could happen to anybody.
Yeah. And the way it appeared, since D.I. said he thinks it was Raven, it looked to the layperson like Canyon started dropping him for the powerbomb first, and Raven was behind with the neckbreaker. Their timing just wasn't correct. And that's what happened, you know.
Yeah. Next is some Luke Smith, and the subject is great guest on K100. Hey, boys, just want to shout you guys out for a great interview with Dom Mysterio last week. I challenge anyone to listen to that interview and debate me as to how it wouldn't be an enjoyable experience coming onto the K100 show as a special guest. I, for one, hope WWE hires listen to it and allow more of their talent to come on the show. Quick question for Conan. You mentioned a few weeks back that you spoke to JBL about appearing on the podcast. Is that still a chance of happening down the line? Thanks, and that's from Luke Smith.
I spoke to JBL at that Cauliflower Alley thing. We had a great time, and I invited him on the show, and he said yes. Then I sent him a message, and he never answered me. And then I had Joe get a hold. Joe, was it you that told me that he wanted to come on the show?
No.
Okay. Somebody reached out to me and said, yeah, JBL wanted to come on the show. So I'm going to send him a text and see what's up. He'd be a great guest. Great story.
You and him probably would have had a great, if you as a babyface and him as a heel could have had a great angle against each other, him being from Texas, and he could have done like some good, like racial Hispanic, like the Texas guy.
You know what they had him doing in Mexico? You won't believe this. He was like,
he wrestled in Mexico?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a place called Monterrey, which is like 150 50 miles from like San Antonio. And they called him the American Vampire. He was a ripoff of the Vampiro.
Yeah. Who was Vampiro, however they say that. Canadiense.
Yeah. Canadian Vampire. And that was American Vampire. And at the same time, they had a guy called Conan 2000, which was Scott Putzky, who lived in Houston, Texas. So he was a ripoff of me. And you know, so yeah.
Did you ever see D.I.? There was JBL and Eddie Guerrero were feuding, and JBL, who had just switched to his, you know, right-wing, money man, Republican, right, whatever gimmick, he actually went to the Texas-Mexico border, and he was kicking out people who were trying to cross the border. Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Next is from Mike Durbin, and the subject is ice skating. Hi, Conan, Joe, and the guy that, quote, no one ever bought a ticket to see, unquote. That's like one of the responses I get from, but you didn't Kazoo Durbin. How come?
Hmm. Oh, wait one second.
The K100 Facebook account just posted an old photo of Conan with the Love Machine Art Bar and infamous figure skater Tanya Harding at what looks to be some kind of press conference. What is the story behind that? Also, Conan, did you enjoy going ice skating? Next time you roll through Chicago, we can get faded and hit the local ice rink or Grant Park if it's the wintertime. I'm a pretty good ice skater. Boy, that's a little creepy. That's from Mike Durbin, the NWA Live Power Knoxville Front Row correspondent. That's a little creepy, Conan.
Right.
He's inviting you to go ice skating, is that's a date?
Right.
You know, if you go right. You know, so
let me ask you a question. Does this guy blaze, Joe?
I guess he says so.
I don't believe so, but I think he would make an exception with you. I believe so.
I would love to get him high and take him ice fishing, and accidentally he might bump through the hole and get stuck. The Love Machine Art Bar story was they're both from Portland, and he was Love Machine's dad owned the promotion in Portland, and so he talked with his dad. And she came out as our valet. You know, it was me and might have been Eddie. And Love Machine, Matt Farmer, who listens to the show, would probably know better than me. He was also there and was in as faded as I was.
Oh, yeah, the historian, Matt Farmer.
Right. So, but here was the funny part, bro. We got out of the plane, and there was so much press. It was ridiculous. And I was like, holy shit, we're really going to have a good house. And everybody ran past us to go to Tanya.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. So next is from Michael Kupach, and the subject is Damar Hamlin. Happy New Year, gentlemen. I have a quick question. I know this is pure speculation, but do you think that if Eric Bischoff was a GM of the Bills, that he would have fired Hamlin via FedEx by now? I feel that if he can't contribute to the team anymore, that Eric would want to clear up some cap space. Also, thanks for not having Felicia Rose on the Christmas show again. That's why you guys are my favorite podcast. Thanks, Michael.
Jesus.
No, he would not, of course. It's a bad joke. You're joking about Damar Hamlin. Damar Hamlin's fine now, and I bet he plays again, so we'll see. Next is from Joseph Mattarelliano, and the subject is mailbag. What's up, K100 crew? Loving all the content you've been dropping, especially the interview with Dom. Was upset to hear you quit on The Sopranos. I was too. That's kind of weird to give up on The Sopranos. Something
he
to note.
He did say he would try again. So
after season one, David Chase replaced the entire writing staff. You can definitely notice a change in season two. That being said, do you think a show with a nationwide buzz like Sopranos had it slowly going away? With the endless amounts of streaming options, the market feels saturated. Yellowstone started to get that, but it feels like it dropped off after a few months. And that's from Joe Mattarelliano.
No, I just think there's not as many good shows as there were before. What they used to call the golden age of TV, which is like in the 90s. And that was a golden age for everything, music, everything. But no, because not too long ago, Game of Thrones had that type of buzz.
Yeah, and Yellowstone's close, but it's kind of quieted down. But yeah, think about that era when HBO started. They went Oz, The Sopranos, The Wire, Six Feet Under, Deadwood. Just, that's fucking awesome.
Conan, I have a question for you.
What it do, boom.
Have you been taking your Athletic Greens?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, that Athletic Greens is a fantastic product. Athletes use this. Basically, what Athletic Greens is, it's all of your nutrients all in one nutritional drink. I started taking Athletic Greens because I take, like, you know, when you take vitamins, I have like 9 bottles of vitamins that I take. And it's just a complete pain in the ass. Like, go, you know, having to open them and pour them every day and everything. But with that, Athletic Greens, it's just a powder. You put it in, you can shake it. You can mix it with protein drinks. You can mix it with juice. You can mix it with water. You can take it before your workouts. You can take it in the morning. You can take it after your workouts. It's comprehensive health and the power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. So I take mine usually after I work out. And athletes are just all in on this. You know, they have one thing in common with athletes. They take care of their bodies. And a huge part of that starts with, you know, whole body health. And they take AG1. And that's why I'm a huge fan of that. It has 75 high-quality ingredients that gives you daily nutrients and long-term gut health support. That's the best thing about this is that it helps your digestive process. If you're having bad digestion or, you know, you're going to the bathroom, it doesn't look good, you know, Athletic Greens, you know, puts us in the right direction.
Or if you're feeling backed up and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and in all of this for just less than $3 a day. How great is that? It's an effective daily habit with the highest quality source ingredients. It's a win-win. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Konan, K-O-N-N-A-N. That's Athletic Greens, athleticgreens.com/Konan. Check it out.
Yo, so check it out. It helps hydrate the body. It's packed with vitamins and minerals. It boosts your immune system. It has so many benefits. As you know, we're big on wellness here. And bro, like, your body needs like 11 elements, but only 6 of them like are the most important one, which is like oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus. And this is packed with everything that you need. You don't have to go and cut, you know, fruits or vegetables or anything like that. All these minerals and vitamins and everything that you need to maintain good health in one drink. It don't get better than that. I drink this every day. Disco was drinking it before I was. You know, he swears by it. So, you know, stay in shape and stay healthy. Get your Athletic Greens. Boom.
All right, next, this is an interesting one. This is from your boy, about your boy, Joe.
Oh.
Next is from DK. The subject is a message from Raven from 2003.
Kind of long.
Hi, guys. Not sure if too long for the mailbag, but this comes from a 2003 blog by Raven, the early to mid days of the internet. There's nothing I hate more than these effing worthless assholes who take and give nothing back to the sport of wrestling. There's so many dicks in the business who have been given fame, fortune, Porsches, and million-dollar homes and never once repaid the sport that gave them so much. I mean, all they had to do was A, give advice, B, help and or teach up the up-and-comers, C, create new stars, D, pass a torch, E, hell, just be thankful they're getting paid for something when they started they'd done for free. It's called love of the game. I don't get it. I really don't effing get it. I mean, hey, I'm a prick. I know it, and I definitely wouldn't be mistaken for a choir boy, but come on. How hard is it to see the value of putting someone over? Example, 1987, Ric Flair took a nothing happening going nowhere mid-carder to a 45-minute draw in a Clash of Champions and created a new star, period. That simple. He didn't have to. He could have got himself over. No one said to him, hey, make the kid. He did it because it's the right thing to do, period. That simple. How come nobody else does this anymore? How come nobody else does this? We're always taught that wins and losses weren't really that important, but I guess they really are that important, at least to the boys. Flair put more worthless MFers over going by conventional wisdom. His career should be as dead as Thunderfoot 2. However, he's still one of the most over people in the sport. Why is that? Is it because A, America likes losers? B, nothing more attractive to young 1834 demographics than a 56-year-old prancing in his underwear, styling and profiling, etc. C, because if you know how to work, selling psychology, putting your opponent over, it's compelling television. And D, go F yourself. The answer is C, although you never can go wrong with answer D, which was go F yourself. Mm-hmm. In conclusion, I quote Terry Taylor, always share the heat with a fellow solar panel. Quote, the business was based on giving. At what point it was giving? At what point did everything change? It became based on taking. I'd ask the people what they think, but the boys wouldn't care. And for a while, I forgot to care too. I mean, come on, who are the fans anyway? They're just the people who pay for the Porsches, the homes, as well as my condo and 15 years of self-indulging, self-annihilating decadence, debauchery, horrors, coke, ecstasy, condoms, ring rats, booze, painkillers, trips to rehab, more drugs, more rehab, more whores, and I wouldn't change it for the world. Well, maybe a few things, but definitely not the whores. To all the fans, thank you for the last 15 years. Quote the Raven. I hope it goes on forevermore. So the question is, what are your thoughts on Raven's wisdom from 2003, and how could this apply to the current generation of talent? Derek from Virginia. I mean, you know, Raven was bitter there, obviously. So, you know.
Well, I think he spit straight backs. That's number one. And number two, and number two, I think he was more humorous here than he was on the Jericho cruise with notes.
So, yeah. Exactly. Copious notes.
He's dipping his toe back in. You know, he was a producer at Impact all weekend.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Next is Carlos Hernandez is subject to game shows. That's actually good, because if they listen to him, Raven is really good at like psychology and laying stuff out and everything, you know?
Promos. Yeah. When we recorded the Raven Effect yesterday, we talked about wrestling almost the whole show, and that never happened. So he seems to be pretty excited about being there.
Yeah. Next is from Carlos Hernandez, subject is game shows. Hey, Conan, Disco, and Joe, it's Carlos from L.A. Hope you guys are well. My brother was on YouTube. We found a YouTube clip of the Mysterio family versus the Miz family on Celebrity Family Feud. I attached one of the clips. In the beginning of the clip, Aaliyah starts to round at the 104 mark. Rey Mysterio gives his answer. Question for Conan. Did he speak to Rey and his family about this appearance on the show? Did they enjoy working with Steve Harvey? I'm just going to stop I'm just going to ask that question right now. Conan, did Rey enjoy working with Steve Harvey?
I didn't ask him.
Of course not. Question for Conan Disco. If the two of you had to pick three other guys in the WCW locker room to join you, try and win actual money on a game show like this, who would you add to your team? Raven? Sorry for the long email. Thanks for the good content. Much love. We're not going to watch the clips.
Didn't think so.
I'd get Raven. Because me and Raven and who else? Sanders and stuff. We would go play, trivia at Hooters.
Right.
You know, the trivia night. They have trivia night. So we'd go play sometimes and stuff and things. So, I'd get him. I'd probably get Sanders. Who else do we have? Would I have gotten? I don't know. Who cares?
Gotten Raven, Jericho, Madden.
Right. Yeah, Madden for sure. All right.
You actually did win Ben Stein's money against Raven, Disco.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm not. Jared Aviat has a submission here. I'm not going to read it.
Oh.
Okay. Because he's not I said he has to apologize. If you want this to read this email, I told you your emails have to have the apology where you publicly apologize for saying that Mandy Rose, and we're adamant that Mandy Rose is turning heel. And how long ago was that, Conan? That we said she wasn't.
It was after SummerSlam, so August.
So that's August, mm-hmm. September, October, November, December, and we're in January. It's 5 months. Okay, you need your apology. I'm not going to read your email. All right. So I did not. I'll read the last part. Thank you for taking my question. No, we did not take your question. Okay, because you did not apologize, and you're never getting an email read until that apology comes in the first paragraph of the email. All right. Next is from Brian Dunlop, and the subject is The Miz versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 39. Hello, Conan and Disco. In 2023, WrestleMania is going to Hollywood. The Miz perfectly fits that theme. Meanwhile, Stone Cold is rumored for a Mania match. We don't know who will be facing. What about The Miz versus Steve Austin? Start off as a Miz TV segment and segue into a match, much like the WWE did with Kevin Owens at last year's show. And since WrestleMania is going to Hollywood, what if The Miz hosts both nights of Mania, further pissing off the Rattlesnake? The Miz and Stone Cold are both great talkers, and I think they can pull off a highly entertaining program together. It'll keep Austin's momentum going with another strong win before he puts over someone like Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar. Meanwhile, The Miz will only be stronger to defeat after wrestling Stone Cold. What do you think about The Miz being Stone Cold's next opponent? I do not like it. Do you know what Brian Dunlop does? It's like he contributes his booking ideas every single week and like for approval. That's his questions every week, you know? That's not a good not a fan of that.
I think it would be about time they finally did Lesnar and Austin if Steve was up to it physically.
Yeah. Or Lesnar and or Austin and Goldberg.
Nah, that would suck.
That's the one that everybody would always the one that always people were always saying back in the day. You know?
Yeah, but after Goldberg dropping Taker, how much would Austin want to work with a guy like that after he had all his neck injuries? You know, that might be something.
Well, just as a spear in the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, next is from Ice Cream, and the subject is Friend Zone.
Ice Cream?
Ice Cream.
I like that name.
Hi, guys. As much as I listen for the wrestling questions and discussion, I also love when you drop it up about general life stuff. Disco, would you be nice to hear your current diet, for example? My question is dating related, as I fear I may be in the situation currently. Have you ever been friend zoned, and how can you tell if you have been? I'd appreciate any advice from Conan, Disco, and even Joe.
What does that mean?
No, I have a lot of girlfriends that I've had that have been friends, and we've never ever been romantic, because I've known so many girls. When you know a lot of girls, you can't you just some of them are your friends, you know. My diet currently is called no sugar, no grains, because I'd like to drink bourbon. Which is low sugar. I do this diet. I just don't eat potatoes, pasta, rice. I just eat veggies and proteins, and as much of it as I want. And
How often do you cheat and actually enjoy some pasta then? Because that's
one to 2 days.
Especially being Italian.
There you go. Yeah,
one to 2 days a week. I had pizza yesterday.
All right.
So
what kind of bourbon do you prefer? Does it matter?
I mean, I just usually I like
Jack,
Bullet.
Jim.
I like Bullet. You know, Jack.
What is Bullet?
Just a bourbon.
You know, okay.
Maker's Mark is all right. You know,
Let me just say.
I do intermittent fasting too. I do 16 hours between my last meal and my first meal.
I want to hear Joe what his response is to this, because he did ask you.
Damn, dude, if you're friend zone and that's it, you're solidly in there, you never get out. You're never going to get out. She's never going to look at you that way. But I would always hook up with
girls. No, he said that the question was, have you ever been friend zone, and how can you tell if you have been?
If she's willing to get with someone right in front of your face, you're friend zoned. I mean, that's number one. If you want out of the friend zone, you cannot let her know you're attracted to her ever. And act like you do not care. That's the best advice I could give.
And here's another friend zone tip. If she ain't calling you, she ain't interested. Cause girls, when they like you, bro, they're calling you all day, all night, and texting you all day and all night. If you ain't getting no response, she ain't interested.
Conan,
what it do?
End the old year with a new you, and Close It will give you the confidence to tackle those 2023 resolutions. Thanks to our new sponsor, True Classic. You'll have everything you need to hit the gym, take it slow, or treat yourself to something nice. Let's get snatched in 2023, and daddies, I'm talking to you. True Classic has already helped over 2 million men look great in their tees, and now you can save big while you do so. For a limited time only, get 25% off with the code K100 at TrueClassic.com. True Classic will make you feel your best by accentuating the places that the eyes go to first, which is your body. And have you thought about upgrading your shirts? Almost all men's t-shirts are designed to look good to certain body types. That's why True Classic's team designed t-shirts to make the fellows of all sizes out there feel confident in their clothing. These tees taper off towards the bottom, but they fit tighter around the chest and shoulders. There's a desirable look to be achieved by every single body type. They give you the wide shoulder and tapered bottom look that we're all looking for, and the quality of the t-shirts are elite. From going to the gym to your first date, there's no better look than a fresh tee. I wear t-shirts all the time. And True Classic offers other menswear as well. The True Classic Activewear line makes physical features more flattering, and their fabrics are engineered for high-intensity workouts. I pair an active shirt with their fleece or quick-dry shorts or a pair of their comfy joggers. They also just released new button-downs and chinos, which are perfect for a nice night out. And you can never go wrong with their classic comfort collection of ultra-soft tees, briefs, hoodies, and much more. And you know me, I'm a big hoodie guy. They have a pack builder on their site where you can customize the bundle you want and save even more. And for my big fellas out there, they have long options for the tall guys and up to triple XL. Now, True Classic also has a 100% risk-free guarantee with a 30-day return policy. That's great for you. The response to these tees are overwhelmingly positive, with over 200,000 five-star reviews. It's no wonder these t-shirts are quickly becoming men's go-to. So, dad bods, we got you covered. Rip bods, you know it. Your average Joe, that's you. Yes, sir. Get 25% off at TrueClassic.com with the code K100. That's 25% off with the code K100 plus free shipping on purchases over $100. New year, new me, and new tees. Thanks to True Classic at TrueClassic.com.
Bro, these are great. They're comfortable. You know, and like he said, they come in so many different styles. The one that I got, they have polos, they have V-necks, they have long sleeves. They got, you know what a Henley shirt is, D.I.?
Oh, Henley shirt?
Yeah.
No.
Those are the ones that have no collar, and they're kind of round, and they have buttons right here. And they have different colors, very, very comfortable. And, you know, it does a real good job of accentuating your upper body. They're very, very comfortable, you know, and I highly recommend it. So, you know, get your attire on at True Classic Tees. Boom.
Next is from Beto Garcia. Subject is hot news. How's it, Jens? It's your homeboy from the 415 on Discord, known as G4150351.
Wow.
Body has been kind of
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You suspended Beto in the Discord.
Oh, I did. That's right. I did suspend him. Yeah. You're suspended.
Sorry for
Beto.
Snitching, bud.
Yeah, sorry, bro. Good call, Joe. Yeah, what did he do? He made fun of me, didn't he?
Yeah.
I caught it. Yeah, and I tagged you. Yeah, bro, all you people in the Discord, I lurk. All right, so if you want to try to get away with like throwing shade at me and stuff and things, I'm gonna find you. Right, so yeah, he's suspended. Next is from Brandon Triano, and the subject is Amy from New Japan is bugging. Yo, what's good? It's Mayor of K100. Is your favorite elected official? I need to first pat myself on the back for negotiating a deal with the tyrants and oppressors that run the K100 Discord to get us a voice channel. Yes, that is right. Now we can speak to each other. No more third world Discord channel. We moving up like the Jeffersons. Amazing reference for a 33-year-old, by the way. He put that in his own parentheses. All right, here we go. I heard the email last week in the mailbag and just said bullshit out loud when Amy from New Jersey said Joe has a sexy voice. Joe sounds like if you opened a fresh jar of mayo and started fisting it as fast as you can.
That's very
I got to love for my brother Joseph, but get the F out of here with all that. LOL. As a New Jersey native myself, I can smell when something is off. The Meadowlands does that to you, and this is some bullshit. I think this is a front by the Baron Twink community to recruit Joe, since he defended them in the shoutouts a few weeks back. So, Amy, if that is your real name, please stop with the crap. Conan and Disco, do you agree? P.S. I got engaged on New Year's, and fiance followed the K100 TikTok because of the intro. TikTok, you don't stop, followed by Disco singing, girl, you make me feel so good, got my future wife to support the show. Conan, Disco, and Joe, you're invited to the wedding. Okay, we won't be going to the wedding.
Is there an open bar?
But I will say that I was
all night. This guy kind of
this guy being confirmed, being from Jersey, kind of confirms that the Amy thing did sound like a catfish type thing. And then
1,000%, because we put her over and she never wrote back to say thank you or good looking out or whatever. I think right. That was Joe himself.
Just absolutely could have been.
Yeah. I would never.
Plus, Joe actually thinks he has a sexy voice because we've had this conversation many times, and he never backs down because he believes whoever told him this.
Next is from Darian Sanchez, Sylvester Stallone in WWE. Hey, K100 crew, recently went back and watched a few of the Rocky movies and came across Rocky 3, where Hulk Hogan played Thunderlips and Mr. T played Clubber Lang. A couple years after this was the first WrestleMania with Hogan and Mr. T tagging in the main event. My question is, do you think WWE tried to get Sylvester Stallone in the WWE? Or it could have been a money issue. I felt like Stallone was working a match would have been a bigger part get for WrestleMania 1 main event, but regardless, Mr. T was a great call. I'm sure he probably wanted more money than Mr. T did. You know, he was Sylvester Stallone, for Christ's sakes.
You got to think they tried, because back then they were getting all types of celebrities, from Muhammad Ali to Liberace. Like Vince was on his, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
I thought this immediately when I saw that email. See what you think about this. If Stallone is Rocky, right? He's the badass boxer, and he's Rambo, the untouchable like soldier. Do you think maybe he would have declined because he's going to be the smallest guy in the ring, and it would hurt his image?
Yes. Well,
he's already the smallest guy in the movie when he stood next to Thunderlips.
Drago, yeah, and Thunderlips, yeah.
Next is from Roy Lucifer, and the subject is crappy wrestling news sites. Hey, gang, just want to ask you all, what do you think it's going to take for the majority of wrestling fans to stop believing every news story they see on Twitter? This past week was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever witnessed in the history of pro wrestling social media. Someone that had 5,200 followers on Twitter posted, heard it's official the WWE was sold to the Saudi government, and tens of thousands of fans took this person's word as gospel and shared it. It was a craze the whole night on every social media platform. Then the next morning, reliable sources mentioned it's all bullshit. The original person deletes the post. He now has 8,000 Twitter followers and will come up with every excuse on what happened and can't admit he's wrong. And we all know 90% of these online versions with news sites who have done the same thing he did to get more followers and create a buzz and make them seem important. It's frustrating. I wish more people would use common sense before believing everything said online by someone who's not a legit source. What's it going to take? I don't know. This is the way some people just have not, you know, some people still like being brainwashed. They don't like doing any work. They just like reading something and believing it instead of like reading something and questioning it. Right. Very lazy, you know?
And so, then, and you deserve what you get.
Right.
Anything I read, I cross-reference anything. Right. I don't just believe any site anymore.
Right.
Because they're all bought and paid off by somebody's telling them what to say. So you got to cross-reference your shit, which takes a longer time, but at least you're not fucking, you know, regurgitating what some other jack-off said.
Yeah. Next is a Jordan LeBlanc, and the subject is Max Moon on Raw. Greetings, K100 crew. My question is for Conan. Conan, I just recently learned that you debuted an episode of Raw. You were featured in a match as a Max Moon character going against Shawn Michaels for the Intercontinental Championship. Can you please talk about the vibe in the locker room and backstage leading up to the debut of Raw, and was it different from any other WWF show you've done? Also, considering you work with both Shawn and Eddie, what do you think would have been the WrestleMania match between the two that was planned before Eddie's death? Thanks as always for the content. I look forward to listening every week. And that's Jordan from Morgan City, Louisiana.
Even though I don't like to let the truth get in the way of a good story, that wasn't me. That was Paul Diamond. And I don't understand the second question.
Considering you work with both, you didn't work with Shawn.
Right.
So this, this question is nullified. All right. Actually, Jordan LeBlanc. Unfortunately, we're going to have to ban you from the mailbag for a week because you provided misinformation. So you said you were featured in matches, Max Moon going against Shawn Michaels, and that was not you. It was Paul Diamond.
Right.
So yeah. So that's you're suspended, bro. Sorry. next one's from Matthew Flanagan, and the subject is scheduling and Adam Cole. I just watched Adam Cole's return. He was the biggest draw on NXT TV when he was on top. Do you think he'll translate some bigger numbers for Dynamite? But by the way, I really enjoyed the Billy Hot News segment regarding Sasha Banks, released 10 minutes before AEW aired. Totally brilliant. Not that it should have been out days or weeks before anyway, so he predicted Sasha would be on AEW. It's the worst push since Eric Watts. Question two, whose nephew is this dude? If this isn't a result of nepotism, it's obviously a result of man-on-man love and sexting. What does he mean by that? Question number two, whose effing nephew is this dude? Who is he talking about?
Billy.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was talking about Eric Watts, and I was going like, wait, this is the worst push since, yeah, whatever. Matthew Flanagan, I don't know, bro. Adam Cole?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he wasn't drawing no big numbers before he got hurt, so I don't know if he's, you know. Bro, everything depends on the storylines on that show. The storylines are good, the show doesn't.
Right, Adam Cole was in a good storyline in NXT. That's why he was drawing. He's not in a good one here.
Right.
Conan, guess what?
What'd it do?
Tis the season for overindulging and cheating on your diet.
Nice.
Joe, don't interrupt. Okay, hang on. Conan, guess what?
What up?
Tis the season for overindulging and cheating on your diet. Don't let the holidays ruin all your hard-earned progress with your diet and training. Get prepared to crush it in 2023 with, guess what? Legacy Sports Nutrition.
Boom.
Now, you've heard us talk about them before, but now more K100 listeners than ever have experienced the results for themselves from professional-grade supplements available at LegacySups.com. Shed those excess holiday pounds and have the energy needed to endure your family with their best-selling fat burner, X-Lean 5, which, Joe, you're currently using, right?
Yeah, I take my X-Lean 5 every morning. I'm energized all day long. I've been feeling a lot better. I feel a lot sharper. And then later on in the day is when I take the Recovery PM to get some really, really good sleep at night. And I'm deep sleeping. I'm getting plenty. And you get your deep dreams that you remember and all that. It's really that's a good show that you're sleeping well. So, but the X-Lean 5, man, I can't recommend it enough if you're looking for more energy during the day. And I've dropped some pounds as well, so.
Well, if that sounds good, you know, I don't do carbs, but you might want to try Carb Defender, specifically designed to take before you're about to pick out on carbs. I know a lot of people like to pick out on carbs, like pizza and stuff, but it limits the negative effect of carbs in your waistline. And, of course, there's always your top-selling Test X9 Testosterone Booster and the sleep aid getting rave reviews worldwide, the Recover PM. That's my favorite product. And while stocks last, orders over $75 will receive a free supplement organizer with 7 individual cases divided into morning, noon, and night. All in one handy case, you can stay on top of your subs and make those gains, brother. That sounds like a great product, because I got tons of pills, you know, that I take. And as always, show your love for K100. Get 10% off your entire order by entering code K100, that's K100, at checkout at LegacySups.com. That's LegacySups.com.
Yo, check it out. You know, you got all these different supplements for energy, for, you know, for sleeping, for just about anything you can think of. You know, we're very big on wellness here. Check it out. Legacy Subs, endorsed and made by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James.
Next is from Gary Hanna.
Or wasn't.
Who will breathe with the switchblade? Hi, guys. Thanks for all the great content. Strong rumors that Jay White will be leaving New Japan for the USA, and I would like to hear everyone's opinion on where his best destination is. My thoughts are in WWE. He might have changed too much about what made him successful, but he would get more exposure there. In AEW, I fear he would get lost in the shovel of their huge roster, but the chance of creativity allows him to keep being the character that succeeded in Japan. So there's pros and cons to both. Please share your thoughts on which promotion is best for him and why. What was the question here?
Where should Jay White go, and what would be better for him?
I don't care, bro. They're just another guy. Neither company needs another guy. That they got enough talent they're working with that they should just do continue storytelling with. So
now I saw Jay White in Impact when I was there, and really good wrestler. I just think that, you know, and he's tailor made for AEW, but I think the guy's right here. If he goes to AEW, he would get lost in the shuffle.
Right. The Wilford Quinones subject is Disco. I was just listening to the mailbag and heard Conan say that some guests won't do the show because of Disco. Wondering why do other wrestlers start burying Glenn on the show? Is it an ongoing rib or some of these for real? Thanks. Question for you, Conan.
Is he referring to the drops?
When and why?
No, guests who won't come on because Disco is present as the co-host.
Oh, Meltzer, Tony Khan, just Kenny. Right off Kenny. Yeah, right off the top of my head.
A bunch of others. Danhausen, I guess, because yeah. These are guys that blocked me. This is interesting. Remember when Seth Rollins blocked me on Twitter?
And unblocked
and then
you.
And, you know, and I started putting him over because he unblocked me on Twitter.
Right. Somebody probably said, hey, Disco's talking good about you. And he unmelted and said, let me. Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
I bet if you were to talk good about all three of them for like 2 weeks, they'd come on.
Probably.
Right.
And it's like, I don't think I've made a personal, like everything I've said when we review shows are stuff that I, as an agent and been in the business, would say to the talent if they came back through the curtain and I was the agent of the match and I would put them in the room and have the exact same conversation with them. Yeah. And it's like these guys get butthurt that I'd say that I would be critical of things that they did on a wrestling show. It's like, all right, well, I'm not doing this to, bro, first of all, I would not, especially with the work these days, there's so much thigh slapping and like this forearm thought, there's so much of it on wrestling. I don't even want to watch these shows anymore, but I do this because our fans like to hear us talk about these shows. I wouldn't be watching anything. I'd probably watch a SmackDown because I like that bloodline angle and that thread and everything, right. But like, I wouldn't be watching AEW. I wouldn't be watching Raw. I wouldn't be watching any of this stuff. And it's a lot to do with like a lot of the way the guys work these days. They're not going to change. And I'm not going to change not liking the style of work. So it's just like, we're kind of just at an impasse there. It's like, I'm not your agent anchor shows. You're not going to listen to me, to my advice and stuff. Anything, but I'm going to tell you what I like and don't like about your matches. And if you don't like that, I don't like thigh slapping. I'm sorry. Don't get offended. I just think it looks bad. So it's like, you know, a lot of these guys get butthurt and I don't, like I just said, bro, people like, I guess because there's so much adoration on Twitter that you can go and see people tweet nice things about you and you can listen to podcasts where people say nice things about you and like just say that like you don't want, why would you even want to hear criticism? You know, I think that's the thing. I think there's a lot of people that just don't like criticism. And it's like, first of all, you got to consider the source. Why am I, like, I'm a retired professional wrestler that hasn't been in the business, you know, hasn't wrestled in the business in a long time, like, regularly. So why does my opinion bother you so much? It's just my opinion. You know, and if you're going to let it bother you, like, dude, it's like, dude, I'm not, you know, we can have conversations. If you like sports, if you like, if you like to talk about other things besides professional wrestling, we'd probably find a lot of common ground with a lot of people that, a lot of these wrestlers that don't like you, don't want to come to the show or anything. We don't even have to talk about wrestling. Because if that's going to be a point of contention where I just don't like the style of work these days, no offense to you. You know, no, I just don't like you the way the guys work. But it's like, if you want to come out and talk about sports, hockey, football, and stuff, we share common ground in that. Come on the show and let's do that. You know, let's not talk. If you want to come on the show and like, let's talk about stuff that we find common ground. Because I'm not looking to try to bury people that are guests on our show. I'm not trying to come on and own you and stuff. I want to come on and sometimes like a lot of like Dave Meltzer, he says a lot of things that I think are very narrative driven and he's never checked on it. And I would like to bring him up and say, Dave, you said this. Well, you know, what do you think about, like, I want to have this conversation. I want to have this debate with you, you know, but he don't want to come on. So how do I debate somebody that's not going to come on the show other than getting my shit in talking about the subject matter? You know, people think of the funniest thing, like all these guys' Twitter followers, they think I'm an idiot. They think I'm a more jobber, irrelevant son. Bro, if I'm that, if your followers have that opinion of me, and that's what I am to like that fan base, come on and put me in my place. I'm an easy – I got to be an easy guy to discredit and stuff. Right? If all your fans think I'm a relevant jobber, come on and do that. It's like, I don't know. I don't know why people get this thing like I'm such a – you know, bro, I rib people on Twitter. I like to troll people, but not in a hateful way. Just got try. Everything I do is try to be funny, bro. Conan, me versus Jackie Johnson on Facebook. What was that feud like,
bro? Never ending, just constant ball busting.
Troll. It was funny. We never like, you know, stuff like, I don't know. It's like these people get too upset, man. It's just like I would just tell this generation, stop taking yourself too seriously and lighten up. Right. Because we just come from an era where you look at the way you people act. And it's like, dude, you would not have made it in our locker room. If you're worried about getting ball busted by me, wait till Luger and Bagwell get a hold of you. It's like, you know, like, I mean, like Scott Steiner. It's like, come on, man. Right. Spend 8 hours on TV days and 3 hours on house shows within a locker room with Scott Hall. And then think that he's not going to walk up to you at some point and make fun of you for something, right? So it's like it's just never ready, right? So, yeah. All right. So the next one is from last my dissertation on my, like, you know, what people think of me. So whatever. Next is from Steve Haig, and the subject is Matchmaker. Hey, K100 crew, I had a question about tag teams and stables and how they are formed. Is this strictly a booker's choice? Did it take into account any friction or chemistry the two might have, or is it based on other factors? Does talent have a say in the matter? Thanks. Of course it's the booker's choice, bro. I mean, it's like, yeah, you could go to a guy. Perfect example. When you guys were doing the Filthy Animals, they were doing nothing to me. I go, Eric, let me join the Filthy Animals so all of us, because we're all driving together and hanging out together, let's just all work together. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Conan? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the Filthy Animals was like, you go give them an idea, but it's their decision. Like, you could, bro, that's one thing. Ed Ferrara and Russo and stuff, and even Eric, we're kind of open to suggestions from the talent, and they would do it, you know? Like, would you agree with that, Conan?
1,000%.
More so with Russo and Ed, though.
1,000%.
Like, we had their ear pretty good, and they were like, and they thought we were funny, you know? So they would like, they'd use a lot of our ideas, you know? So.
Well, I know our listeners sometimes probably lack confidence in the bedroom. We've all had those nights where we get too nervous when we had too much to drink. But there's nothing worse than not being able to put the stick shift in drive when you need the most. But have no fear, Rex MD is here, spreading cheer, even when you have a few too many beers.
Perfect.
So Rex MD is FDA approved and the most trusted leader in men's telehealth. They've sponsored this episode to help you always be prepared. RexMD has made it simple, easy, and cost-effective to help all the men out there last longer and feel more confident in the bedroom. RexMD makes getting generic and branded Viagra Cialis easy. Everything's online, even the prescription, and they deliver discreetly to your door. No waiting rooms, no embarrassing trips to the doctor, no insurance, and no co-pays. Take advantage of the best deal they've offered and save up to 90% and only pay $2 per dosage with the exclusive link, rexmd.com/K100. That's RexMD, rexmd.com/K100 for this limited time deal. So RexMD has made this whole process very simple. There's no need to jump through a bunch of hoops to set up an embarrassing doctor's appointment to get your medication where you're telling them, hey, I'm having problems performing. So with just a few clicks of a button, you can talk to a medical professional, create a personalized plan, and get the products discreetly shipped to your door within 2 days. RexMD doesn't just have ED medication. There's other medications that help sexual health, hair growth, pain relief, and sleeping. They're also here to make sure you save big. Viagra costs around $90 a pill. That's ridiculous. But RexMD has generic Viagra. That's just as effective for as low as $2 a pill. And unlike other brands, RexMD is FDA approved, clinically tested, at a U.S. licensed pharmacy. So you'll be getting FDA-approved ED treatments at a 90% cheaper rate than the doctors. That's 90% cheaper. That's ridiculous savings. It's fast, simple, and cheap. And RexMD has already helped over 300,000 guys gain confidence quickly and conveniently, and they're here to help you.
And let me just say that is accurate. You know, Viagra and Cialis can be very expensive, even with insurance. So you go to rexmd.com/K100, get them for $2 a pill, and I can tell you from personal experience, they work just as well, just the same.
Yeah, next week we'll also be bringing your wife in here for a testimonial too.
Absolutely.
Act now to take advantage of the best deal yet by heading to rexmd.com/K100. The exclusive deal will save up to 90% off when you only pay $2 per dosage, and starter packs of generic Viagra Cialis are now available to our listeners to get started at RexMD. That's rexmd.com/K100. Yeah, yeah. So give the gift of pleasure this holiday season with RexMD.
Right. Keep it hard. Boom.
Oh, we got a promo from Adrian Thomas. I guess we got to play because there's no text. I guess we just have to listen to the promo. You got it, Joe?
Yeah, one sec.
You didn't know it was coming, Joe?
No. I have it. I just the window the window was hiding. I had to get to the window. God damn it!
It's funny.
It's very offensive. Oops.
Let me read the last.
It's right here.
All right, cool. Turn it up a little bit.
I'm a little pissed off. I've been actually wanting to come on the show for a long time, and I feel like I actually have a legit reason to come on the show, a good opportunity to come on the show. I was in the crowd for Monday Night Raw last week, and I was supposed to come on and kind of, you know, conversate with Disco and Conan, you know, and report on the show. But your boy Joe, your $2-ass producer, didn't make the phone call, and I missed my shot. Who knows when I'll be able to be on the show.
Cut this off real quick. Press pause.
You know,
Why did you go? Did you ask him to come on the show, Joe?
I did ask, and you guys said yeah, but then the next day when we were recording, we were on a time constraint. So that's what happened.
I think the courteous thing to do is to get back to him and say, hey, you know.
No, I did this. That's just for the promo, though. Yeah, yeah.
Finish the rest of the promo.
I said just cut a promo.
Let's finish the rest of the promo.
Yep.
Joe got the opportunity to sit under the Linux tree every week, and it seems like he don't learn shit because he don't do his job. So as a matter of fact, on the 21st in Ashland City, Tennessee, not far up the road from where I live, I'm on a show with your boy, Jeff Jarrett, as a matter of fact, and y'all seem to be buddy buddies. Maybe, you know, talk to him, talk to Joe. Joe, matter of fact, let me just talk to you. Joe, quit being a bitch, all right? I know you're a little upset because the last time I was even on the show, I was talking to Disco. You know, we had a little conversation in Vegas, and we realized that you're the asshole. So I think the problem is Joe. I think Keeping the 100 has a long history with having bitch-ass producers.
Oh,
so, Joe, let me handle this for you before you go to Way KG, because I actually kind of like you a little bit, Joe, okay? And I don't want to see you go out like that. So before you go to Way KG and become a super bitch, how about me and you settle this? Mano y mano, man to man, and we'll make it even. We'll make it fair. We'll set up a show. You don't want to come to the show I'm on the 21st? That's okay. I know it's kind of sudden news for you, but you got two professional wrestlers right there, so obviously you can gain some knowledge, right? How about you get some training, get you a tag team partner, and I'll fight you and your tag team partner in a handicap match, any show, anywhere, anything goes, and I'll beat your ass, and we can settle this. How about that? What y'all think?
All right, Joe, book him on the show. I want to have him on because I want
to I wouldn't like him to have a tag team partner so he doesn't waste all his energy and his tag team partner can just kick Joe's ass.
I'll bring the guy on. If he's going to bring that type of energy and burying Joe, I'd like to bring him on for five minutes, do a correspondence report from the WWE show he went to. I'm game for it if Conan's up for it.
Yes, so. I'll bring him on 100%.
I'm sure he won't have a problem with that.
Keep that
Joe, what do you think about him saying that you're trending towards the new KG?
No, I don't think so. I think I get better and better. I'm on an incline, not a decline.
It's only taking him 7 years only, but he has gotten better.
All right, here's a pop culture question. Matthew Trevino submitted this, and I guess it was missed in December 13th. He submitted it again.
Yeah, it went to the junk email.
Okay, hello, Disco Conan Joe. I hope everyone is doing well this Christmas season. I have two quick questions, if you allow. First one is the World Cup. I ever want to ask about the football movie victory stars Sylvester Stallone, Michael Caine, and Pele. It's basically the Allied powers versus the Nazis, but on the soccer field. The movie had several popular soccer players for their time starring in the movie. Have you ever seen it? And if so, what are y'all's thoughts? I still enjoy it to this day. Second is regarding music shows that were televised, such as American Bandstand, Soul Train, and the Johnny Canales Show. For Conan, nothing. Did y'all watch these? And if so, which one's y'all's favorite? I personally enjoy watching reruns of the Midnight Special, as the band seemed to be actually performing live and not syncing up to tape recordings of some of the other shows. I want to sincerely thank you for the last several years of great shows. Shout out to Nick Aldis and Ben Hameen for invoking the Freebird rule and not tagging so you guys never miss an episode. And hot tagging so you guys never miss an episode. Lastly, I want to shout out for the K100 community. There have been some great times in the roundtables. To Joe, Mark Warburton, Carlos Too Sweet Hernandez, Randy Vasquez, Jared Aviat, Rob Knox, and the late Robert Perry. Thanks, fellas, for the laughs. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And bring back the K100 Hall of Fame. Yeah, first of all, just real quick for the K100 Hall of Fame, we got to. I want to kick Ted Irvin out of the Hall of Fame. Can we do that? Or is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is that your call, Conan? Are you going to veto that? Or
no, I won't veto it.
All right. So we're going to kick him out of the Hall of Fame. Maybe you can bring him on and explain why we're kicking him out of the Hall of Fame. Okay. The movie Victory. I loved that movie. Okay. I've watched it dozens of times, probably. And me and my friends in fantasy football, like at the end of the week, if like we're in the sports bar watching the game, we would all like, if we're winning, we'd go Victoire, Victoire. Remember that in the movie they were chanting Victoire
there?
Excellent movie. It's a good soccer movie. It's like, yeah, it's a good simple basic movie. It's hysterical because like they're prisoners of war,
right?
And they had like captured like a lot of soccer players that were like famous that had gone to fight, like they're English and stuff. Like they'd always like it'd be like if we went to war and like Ronaldo. Mbappe and stuff like all these guys got captured because they had to go fight because they got recruited into the army. They all got captured. So the Germans, being like the soccer power, just says, okay, we're going to, for propaganda, we're going to have a game. Our national
team. What year was this?
This is like they're eight late. Go look at Joe. Look at the date, right? But the thing was, it's funny. They the premise was, so their national team was going to play against the Allies. And, you know, but the Germans were like the best team in the world at the time, so they were just going to crush them for propaganda and stuff. And, bro, the movie's so hysterical because it's like the Nazis get up 4-0 and, like, they're killing them. But then the Allies come back and, like, they make it like 4-1 at half. They score a goal right before the half, right? And the whole movie was based on the premise that the Allies had an escape set up. So at halftime, they were like digging under the ground and they were come up in the locker, under the locker. And they were actually going to like escape, have the team escape. Like they're going to do, they had an escape thing. But when they came back and it was 4-1, all the guys were fired up because they scored a goal. They go, look, we can beat these guys. They didn't want to escape. They wanted to go out and play the second half of the game. And that's right. So it's pretty funny. So they went out and like when they come out for the second half, it's hysterical. Because, like, some of the soldiers were in the crowd that, like, had organized this, their escape, and they're looking and go, what on earth are they doing out here? It was pretty – it's a good movie. Very enjoyable, very – I liked it out. A lot.
It's the movie's from 1981, but it's set in the early years of the German occupation of France, 1941, 1942. But check this out. It says the film was inspired by the now discredited story of a so-called death match in which Kiev defeated German soldiers while Ukraine was occupied by Germany in World War II. According to the myth, as a result of their victory, the Ukrainians were all shot. The true story is considerably more complex, as the team played a series of matches against German teams, emerging victorious in all of them before they were sent to prison camps by the Gestapo.
It is a discredited story, so I really don't want to hear it.
Well, it says just to wrap it up for you. Yeah. Four players were documented as having been killed by the Germans, but it was long after the dates of the matches they had won. So
Cody, you'd enjoy the movies. It's not too long either. It's back when movies were like an hour and 45 minutes, not like,
right.
But bro, you know how movies today are like three hours and 15 minutes. Yeah. It's like ridiculous, bro. Like, and movies used to be hour and 40, like 2 hours and 15 minutes was kind of like long, you know, but like everything else was like, movies were short. They're easy to go to. So
it says they're going to they're going to remake this as well.
I will say this is funny. Cause like I want, when I play music at work sometimes, and I'll play the song Funky Town, right? And there's a 7-minute clip of Funky Town that has the Soul Train dancers dancing to the music. Bro, so if you go watch clips of Soul Train, that was absolutely – like, go watch how – bro, everybody could dance back then. Like, everybody was, like, a good dancer. You know, like, stuff. So it was, like – and, like, today's dancing is kind of weird. You know, they got all weird, but everybody just, like – it's funny stuff, so I would check that out. So
and I watched all those shows that you mentioned, American Bandstand, Soul Train, Johnny Canales. Johnny Canales, for those of you who don't know, was this Mexican show from Texas, I think Corpus Christi, and he would have like regional Mexican music, like Mexicans will know who they are, especially in Texas, like Los Intocables, and one name that everybody knows in the United States, I think, Selene, or she was on his show when she was like 13 or 14, really early in her career. And bro, I 100% agree. The Midnight Special is awesome because nobody there lip synced, and you'll see some of the best performances by some of the best stars in the 70s on that show.
So that's been the mailbag.